Hello and welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires podcast. This is Jack. My brother is still on his secret vacation. I recently read that the longest goal by an announcer was 27 seconds, so let's see how I can do. Marquitz, contributor and producer of the Mexican Soccer Show, which highlights all the comings and goings of Liga MX. Jason is here to talk about what's going on so far this season in Mexico, as well as the potential suspension of Pro Rel south of the border. But before we get into it, I understand that you are a Cruz Azul fan. How did that happen?
I used to live in Mexico City, and I was there for 3 years. I was a season ticket holder. It just turned out it was just the club that was the closest to my apartment. So I used to go there to the matches, and they hooked me in. At first, it was just going to enjoy the matches and just, you know, enjoy some Mexican soccer, and then they sucked me in slowly, much to my detriment.
Really. Yeah, much to your detriment this year. But so you're in Pennsylvania now. You still get to watch all the games, though, right? Do you ever get back down to Mexico City to watch them?
It's been a little while now, but I try to, whenever I can, get down there. It's just in Tijuana.
Yeah.
Recently, and so just whenever I could get down to Mexico to watch games, but yeah, I'm just locked into the Univision at this point.
Yeah, how do you feel about Caixinha?
So far, so bad, really. I didn't want Paco Gemes let go by the team. I think he was a pretty good manager. Although I expected Caixinha to be fine. I think in time it still could be fine. You know, in a short tournament, just, you know, how many games it's been, 9 with him, so I'm still willing to give it some time, but right now it looks pretty bad.
At the beginning of the season, I felt more confident about him, and then the recent string of results have really gone against him. At first, I thought this was a really great appointment.
Yeah, I mean, he's proven track record in Liga MX, so you think, like, okay, this is a good manager, someone who's proven himself, someone who knows a lot of these players already. You know, it made a lot of sense, but yeah, not looking so good right now.
Yeah, well, we'll move on from the sad things and on to maybe
Thank you.
yeah I understand. I'm a Chivas fan, so this is also this is also not a great year.
We can have not so much.
Yeah, the rest of this podcast can just be us crying at each other, it's fine. But the real reason I was so excited to bring you on today was because I finally have someone around who's able to explain to me what the hell is going on with promotion relegation in Mexico. So what's being proposed and how do people feel about it? Just what is going on?
There's a lot of murkiness with what's being proposed right now. I mean, the idea is that they are going to suspend relegation for 2 years. The idea that they're going to move Liga MX up from 18 clubs to 20 clubs. For a while now, there's been a lot of talk in Mexico about some change to promotion and relegation, and that's been a very welcome thing because not many people are very happy with the system that's in place for promotion and relegation in Mexico.
It's baffling.
It's quite confusing.
Yeah.
It's one of those that you need a whole formula and everything to really work out what's going on. But then, you know, so like, when, you know, you hear that there's going to be this change. That sounds great. But then what comes out is that they're ending promotion relegation for a little while. So that was terrifying. But it turns out it's just the relegation where we're still going to have two teams moving up. So the promotion's still going to be in place for 2 seasons. But there's still a lot of question marks. So what's going to happen after that point? Like, is there going to be a wholesale change to promotion relegation? Is it going to stay the same? We don't really know right now.
Yeah, the second league in Mexico has had a lot of financial instability. And so,
well, I mean, so there's a lot of issues with the second division in that, you know, only, I mean, I think one of the issues that they had was that only 6 clubs in the second division right now are eligible to move up to Liga MX. Mm. Based on the size of the stadium, having the training center, having like a youth system and all of that. So there's just not enough teams in the second division that even qualify. So, and you know, so like there's not a real strong sect division. So the idea is that, you know, figuring out a way to get the Essential MX up to speed. But I'm not sure that what's been proposed really does anything like that. So I don't know. We'll see.
I know they're supposed to confirm all this today, but I didn't see it. Did it come out? But I don't think it did. But
they did definitely define that they're going to be suspending the relegation. That is a definite at this point. Not a lot of details otherwise, but that is been affirmed today. Yes.
Yeah, that is some typical murkiness from Liga MX, which is sometimes incredibly frustrating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but so at the beginning of the season on this podcast, we made our predictions for Liga MX. I said that Pumas and Monterrey were probably the most likely to win it all. I've been a little bit nervous about that since. Who are your picks right now to win it, and what do you think some of the most interesting storylines going forward are?
I mean, I think the safe bet is always, and recently, just to stick with the clubs from Monterrey and Tigres, two strongest clubs, two strongest rosters in Mexico. I mean, like, no matter what's going on in the regular season, pretty good chance that they're going to turn it on in Liguilla and have a decent chance to be one of the last teams standing. So, I know those are my picks, just, you know, going from season to season. I'm not going to change that until I see something to convince me otherwise. You have to throw América in there as well. They seem to have turned it around under Miguel Herrera again. So they're up there at this point. Not quite with Tigres and Monterrey for me, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the final as well.
Yeah.
As far as what else is going on in the league, I don't know. I think it comes back to your Chivas, unfortunately. After last season, you know, the kind of the slump after the title, all the injury concerns, all of the players that were going into international duty, a lot of reasons for the slump last season. So, I mean, it was natural to expect them to rebound this season. They have the roster, a lot of talent there. I don't know. And Almeida just proven in the league, getting the title. I just expected the turnaround for Chivas, and they've really just absolutely bottomed out. And it's just they simply just can't score. I mean, they haven't even looked that bad this season, but they're just not scoring at all.
Yeah, they're not lethal.
Them down at the bottom of the league, it's rough. I mean, you probably have to throw my Cruz Azul in there as well, because, you know, like we mentioned earlier, didn't expect them to be down there this far. Not necessarily the most stacked roster in the league, competing for a title, but you expect them to be in the top eight at the end of the season. They're so clearly not going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, they're huge clubs. I've been reading what's going on in Chivas all week, and hearing Oswaldo Sanchez's comments about how, you know, they need to get punched in the face, you know, and how they're more concerned with Snapchat and sort of like looking good on their cell phones than they are with playing. It seems a little oversimplified, but then when I do watch Chivas, it doesn't seem like they're clicking on all cylinders, like they're communicating. And it is so frustrating to see the kind of goals that they allow are all just stupid defensive error, like mishaps.
And the craziest thing is, like, that is kind of what propelled them to the title, was that defense. And the defense was so solid all through the game. It was all those, like, scoreless draws that was propelling them forward. And it wasn't necessarily the goals, but they're still not scoring those goals. But, I mean, they used to be such stalwarts in the back, and it's just all kind of crumbled apart. And I think there's some age things going on in the back for Chivas. But you also have, like, some of those players that have just dropped off a cliff, like Orbelin Pineda, who, you know, a year ago, we're looking at this as a player who's almost locked himself into a World Cup spot, and now he's just could be farther from that at this point. So it's a few issues for Chivas there, but, you know, even with a couple, you would still expect him to be up there competing. So it's pretty surprising.
Yeah, do you think Almeida has a job next season?
He has a job, but just probably not with Chivas. I think he's very hireable, but I think this summer is probably the end of it. It's too rocky at this point.
Yeah, and so ends a great love affair, perhaps. I was listening to the Mexican Soccer Show, the most recent episode, and you guys did a bunch of over-under guesses. And one question I wish you guys would have asked, but now I get to is, do you think that Landon Donovan will score a goal this season?
In the league, I'd say no. I think the safe bet is no. I marked him down for a couple of Copa MX goals, maybe. But, you know, I just don't think the minutes are going to be there. And I think I'd be surprised if he gets off start, maybe one at best. I think he's going to be a bench player coming in the second half. And I don't know. I would be surprised. I mean, I think the possibility is there. He still has a spark, but it's just not going to be a lot of minutes. So I'd have to say no.
Yeah, I say for like American fans, the best they can hope for is that, you know, Leon doesn't make the playoffs and all of a sudden there's just unlimited, or not unlimited, but a lot of garbage minutes to pick up. And suddenly you see Donovan coming in for like the last half hour of a game. I like watching him play. His intelligence is obvious, but his pace is not, you know, his grit is not. I mean, his grit is there as well. But I mean, at the end of the season, if he doesn't score a goal, it's hard to understand why Leon did this, apart from sort of like a PR angle.
And I mean, there's a pretty strong argument to be made that they really didn't do much PR. it's hard to understand because like they made a big splash when they signed it, but they haven't really followed it up with anything. They're not really pushing the Donovan angle where you expect, like, okay, if this is a PR move, where is all your PR? They're not doing a lot. So it's kind of strange. I agree. And apparently, like, I mean, the rumor is there's kind of a bit of unrest in the locker room based on Donovan and the salaries pulling in and the big splash and his lack of contribution to the team. So I don't know if there's like complete truth to that, but not all is well in Leon right now, I don't think.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense from an outsider's perspective. I mean, there's some logic behind that. Of course, that must be a hard thing for the, especially like the young guys wanting to get those minutes, to have this, you know, 30-something American guy come in who hasn't played in a year and he's got to work up to fitness level and suddenly they're behind on the pecking order. But it is surprising, especially because Liga MX is really, really good at marketing to like the American audience, or at least especially like the Mexican American audience. But it seems like they announced Donovan, it was on Univision all day, and I loved all the coverage. And then it was like the last story I saw was, oh, Leon is selling Donovan jerseys, and that was it. You know, and like I don't even think they're one of the teams in, like, I forget what the tour is called when the Liga MX teams come to America and play like a regular season game. I know Cruz Azul is coming to San Antonio at the end of the month, but yeah. It doesn't seem like Leon is coming to the States at all, which seems like a huge missed opportunity.
I'm sure they'll find a way. As long as he's still on the roster, I'm sure they'll work that out. But yeah, there wasn't a lot done by the club. Yeah, besides, I think like you have those clubs that have a massive reach. I don't think Leon is necessarily one of those clubs that obviously have like this massive reach in the United States. So I mean, it wouldn't be natural for them to just. They can't sell on their own unless they're attached to a bigger Mexican club. But what has Leon really done to sell this and to get more attention for themselves in the United States? And I think it's pretty clear they've pretty much done nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shame. It seems like, you know, not to keep talking about this, but Donovan did say and do kind of like all the right things to make himself like a likable public figure in Mexico. And then it kind of stopped. But I'll end it there. Do you let's move on to maybe some more general Mexican soccer predictions. Do you believe in El Quinto Partido? Do you believe it's going to happen this year finally for Mexico?
No, I don't know. If I had to say, like, I'd say probably say no. I think it's more likely that it's not going to happen, and it's not really anything to do with like any kind of jinx or hex or the number. But I mean, it's just the harder road for Mexico this time. I mean, just the group is a lot more difficult to navigate. I think they don't have an easy club. They don't have an easy win in that group with Sweden and South Korea outside of Germany. So, I mean, all of those matches are going to be pretty competitive. So it's going to be just hard enough to just get out of the group. And then, you know, there's the opportunity that they're going to be facing pretty stiff competition when they come out again. So, you know, I'd have to say no. But, I mean, I think it's also possible that this team can make the semifinals. Like,
oh,
I mean, I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility for the squad because they're talented enough to do it. They have to get the breaks to do it. But I mean, I think on chances, on probability, I'd say they're not going to get to that fifth game just because I think there's a decent chance they don't get out of the group too, just because it could go either way. They're going to need some breaks. With a few breaks, I mean, semifinals is possible because they're talented enough to do it. They could upset a team because I think Mexico are good at playing up to their opponent, not necessarily in the Copa America, but you know, in general, I think they play up to their opponent and could compete with just about anyone with a few breaks. It wouldn't surprise me to see them go really deep, but also not surprised to see them go out in the group. So
yeah, it sort of depends like what Mexico shows up that day. They can be such head cases, and I grew up watching El Tri, and they're definitely my second team behind United States, and I'm definitely rooting for them in the World Cup, but watching them psychologically collapse in World Cup after World Cup breaks my heart. And I don't really have much else to say other than I spend so much time talking about MLS. It's just nice to talk to anybody about Mexican soccer. Well, one last question. If you're an American looking to get into Liga MX, what team do you think is sort of easiest to fall in love with? And you cannot say Cruz Azul.
I would never wish that upon anyone else. I mean, I'm stuck with them, but I wouldn't push them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'd go with one or two. I would say Tijuana, I think, makes a lot of sense. The border club, the kind of the Mexican-American identity started out with, it makes a lot of sense. Just, you know, based on location, if nothing else. And it's just an interesting club. It's a fun club. They bring in a lot of talented players. They sell off a lot of players. They're a selling club a bit within Mexico, but they're just always a fun team to watch. It's an interesting stadium, interesting place. And the other team I would say would be Pachuca, one of the historic teams in Mexico. But it's just a fun club to root for because they are so based in the youth system, the best youth system in Mexico, producing a lot of great players, playing a lot of their youth, not necessarily hiding them on the bench or in the youth teams like a lot of the other clubs in Mexico. Pachuca's really the strongest team for youth, and they also just are a good quality team that could compete for titles at the same time. So it's an easy team to get on board with, I believe.
I like those picks. I often tell people that they should start with Tijuana because there are so many Americans on that team and a lot of American talent has come through Tijuana. I love the Gringo Cholos in San Diego that come down to the games. It's great to see Rubio Rubin start. He did start a couple of weeks ago for Tijuana. Finally has a club, a player that American fans are interested in. Still a young guy. I think he's 21. But, yeah. I would say Chivas because this is my show. But but I respect both those choices. But, Jason, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for doing your best in explaining what the hell is going on in Mexico. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.